Good evening, it's 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Juliana Gonsalves. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie. Let's start off with your local news headlines. At their last meeting, Council passed a motion aimed at improving oversight and accountability for organizations that deliver services on the city's behalf. The motion, brought forward by Councillor Brandon Tozzo, comes largely in response to the governance, operational, financial, and compliance issues that ultimately led to the decision to dissolve the Kingston Area Taxi Commission this September. Earlier this month, Council approved up to $400,000 from the city's reserve funds to cover the commission's outstanding expenses.
If an organization is receiving public money, it must be accountable to the public, and Council must know that the rules are being followed. I believe we all have a recent example of this not being the case. This motion is intended to put safeguards in place so this never happens again.
Through service level agreements, the city works with partner organizations to deliver a wide range of services, including housing and homelessness support, childcare, tourism, arts and culture, economic development, and transportation. However, the current process for managing and reporting these agreements is not fully streamlined.
But with investment comes responsibility. Right now, reporting under these agreements varies significantly. In many cases, these reports go to staff, and managers and directors have discretion on them. Open reporting is less consistent and less visible to council and to the public. Some go to staff, others go to council. Our staff do great work, but I believe with public money should come public transparency. That inconsistency is the issue this motion seeks to address.
The motion calls for new safeguards to improve transparency and ensure council has clear oversight of partner operations.
What I am proposing is not burdensome or controversial. It's about creating clear, consistent standards. That annual reports and audited financial statements provided to the city are also shared with council through our agendas. That when required reporting is not provided, council be made aware. And as we enter a new term of council, that members be offered, though not mandatory, offered a full and transparent overview of all agreements and partner organizations, including how they are monitored and enforced. Right now, onboarding is up to our partner organization, and let's face it, it's pretty well hit and miss, and there's no clear and consistent standards and reviews of mandates. Our residents expect and deserve to know where their tax dollars are being used, and they expect us as council to exercise proper oversight, and they expect that organizations receiving public funds are operating with strong governance and accountability.
Councillors supported the move unanimously, pointing to recent events as a clear example of what can happen when oversight falls short.
Transparency, accountability are very important, and I just want to say part of the reason, one of the many reasons I found that this motion was such a good idea is because we are currently experiencing what happens when transparency and accountability have not occurred. So yes, I'm happy to support the motion.
Council has approved $17,000 from the Environmental Reserve Fund to launch a residential air conditioner pilot program aimed at supporting vulnerable residents through the summer heat. The initiative stems from a motion brought forward in March directing staff to explore options for a program targeting those most at risk, particularly low-income seniors with medical conditions, as extreme heat events are expected to start in June this year. Staff returned with a proposed plan at Council's last meeting. Drawing on similar programs in Toronto, Hamilton, and Peterborough, staff recommended a one-time investment to bulk purchase air conditioning units, with approximately 35 units expected to be distributed. The program will be administered through the city's Municipal Fee Assistance Program, with eligibility limited to Kingston residents age 65 and older living on low incomes in multi-unit housing and who have been advised by a medical professional to use air conditioning for health reasons. Councillor Connie Glenn, who originally brought forward the motion to look into the program in March, kicked off discussion on the recommendation.
As we've heard, I think time and time again in this chamber, we're seeing the impacts of extreme heat. Hopefully, we are not going to, as Ms. Kaner mentioned, experience that this summer. However, I'm not particularly hopeful. So I'm hoping that everyone will support this. This is a modest amount of money to help out some of the most vulnerable people, and it's a pilot. It gives us an opportunity to see what kind of positive impact we can have on this situation. So right now we're looking at individuals over 65 with self-declared medical conditions to give them a little bit of relief. So I'm not going to belabor the point. I think it's fairly straightforward. I think it's a compassionate consideration for us. And hopefully we will get a bit of warmth soon. It's a little cold out there. So with that, I hope everyone will support option two. I think it's reasonable. And I think it adds benefit and help for some of the people that are going to struggle the most this summer in the heat.
Some counselors raised concerns about liability and increased utility costs, but there was broad agreement that a pilot program is worth pursuing.
If we don't have a pilot, we don't know the information, and more information is almost always better.
Council approved the program in a 12-1 vote, with Councillor Gary Osteroff opposed due to concerns about liability.
What is the liability that we are carrying? I know it's not a lot of money, but as air conditioners cool a room down, the wires get hot. And most people don't have a clue that many, many houses can't handle an air conditioner, where they put them in by windows. And there is an electrical hazard created. Someone's going to be responsible. So I remain uncomfortable because it's not certain.
Staff acknowledge that demand will likely exceed supply and say the program is designed to prioritize those at highest risk. Installation support will be provided by United Way volunteers. City staff will report back in 2027 with an evaluation of the program's outcomes. Beyond this pilot, the city is still working through its broader extreme heat strategy, with an interim plan for summer 2026 expected to come to council in June. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Lori.
The 2026 CFL Draft was held last night, and the draft's top prospect, Akeem Mezador, ended up not being selected at all. This isn't due to any physical limitations or player flaws, but rather, it's because Mezador saw his name called on the NFL draft stage as a first-round pick of the Los Angeles Chargers. Mezador's NFL commitments opened the door for some other elite prospects to climb the rankings, but ultimately, it was Winnipeg-born offensive lineman Giordano Vaccaro who heard his name called first overall by the Ottawa Redblacks. Vaccaro began his football career with the University of Manitoba Bison before transferring to the NCAA's Purdue Boilermakers. A compact, powerful player, Vaccaro will have an opportunity to start on day one for the 4-14 Ottawa Redblacks. With the second overall pick in the 2026 draft, the Toronto Argonauts took the first U Sports player off the board, selecting Queens offensive lineman Nicholas Hennig. The second overall selection capped off a meteoric rise for Hennig, who just 2 years earlier was not viewed as a viable pro prospect. In 2024, Hennig made the switch from H-back to tackle and proved to be something of a revelation for the Gaels, racking up two all-OUA selections and an all-Canadian nod. A remarkable athlete, scouts fell in love with his long, strong frame and quick feet. Hennig is the highest drafted Gael since 2010, when standout linebacker Shamari Williams was picked by Saskatchewan with the first overall pick. Hennig has also accepted an NFL minicamp invite from the Las Vegas Raiders. Quebec's Daniel Jabome was the first defensive player off the board, going third overall to the Edmonton Elk. Jabome had a productive four-year career with Rutgers in the NCAA, distinguishing himself as an excellent tackler with an underrated ability to rush the quarterback. Queens linebacker Justin Pace was drafted in the fourth round, 35th overall. A multiple-time all-conference player for the Gaels, Pace turned in a solid combine performance, which, combined with three seasons of elite play, helped him rise up the draft boards. He will join former defensive battery mates Silas Hubert and Olivier Mwembe in the green and gold. The Calgary Stampeders would complete the tricolor trifecta in the seventh round with the selection of defensive lineman Stephen Capea. Though Capea is undersized for his position, he possesses an impressive array of speed rush moves and a sideline-to-sideline level of athleticism. Capea will join fellow Yates Cup champion Ashton Miller-Melançon in Cowtown, though the 62nd pick will have his work cut out for him to make the team. That being said, adversity is nothing new for this young man who began his life in a refugee camp fleeing a civil war. regardless of where his football career goes, it's been one remarkable journey for the man known as Scary Steve. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, April 29th, slightly cooler here in the city of Kingston. The sunshine is back, but we've got a low top-end temperature of 12 degrees, dropping down to 6 overnight. Final day of April, Thursday, April 30th. 12 degrees is your high, but we're going to have a lot of sunshine, so it's going to feel closer to a very temperate 15 degrees, dropping down to 5 overnight, and we've got a chilly start to the month of May. Friday, May 1st, daytime high of 11 degrees, going to feel slightly warmer thanks to the sunshine, right around 14, but there is about a 50% chance of rain in the afternoon. Saturday, May 2nd, that rain's going to cool things off. We've got a high of just 9 degrees with an overnight low of 4. Sunday, May 3rd, another 9-degree day, partly sunny conditions, dropping down to 3 overnight. And then starting off next week, Monday, May 4th, 11 degrees is your temperature, but we've got a 75% chance of precipitation, which is going to cut that in half, feeling closer to 6 degrees. So a bit of a rainy start to next week, all things considered. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with some partial road closures slash construction that'll have minimal traffic impact. Stephen Street from Cowdy to Montreal Street, expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals, or IPS. The city is installing these IPS units to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. IPS units are being installed at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. For more information, you can visit the City of Kingston website. On the note of partial road closures, bear in mind that King Street West at Country Club Drive to Front Road and Sand Bay Lane is single lane traffic only for the installation of water main and sewer pipes for Utilities Kingston. This has been an ongoing long-term closure, and as we start to ease into the summer, it looks like this closure will be in place indefinitely. In terms of long-term road closures, we're going to see a long-term closure, Princess Street from Frontenac Street to Division. It started on April 20th. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston will begin reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above-ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. So that's a big, long-term road closure impacting Princess Street from Frontenac to Division. Ferry to Queen is still closed due to construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is still closed to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. And just a reminder that the load restrictions are still in effect for heavy-duty trucks, which are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions will expire as of May 1st. But if you are someone hauling a heavy load, please keep an eye on the relevant signage. That's a wrap for your City of Kingston traffic report for this week. Please remember to pay attention to the posted signs and drive safely.
This is Christina Laurie coming back with just some of K-Town's events coming up this week. A solid mix of staples and a few things worth planning around. Wednesday, April 29th, an easy midweek mix. Board games at Something in the Water at 5 and the Royal Canadian Legion at 6. Karaoke at Time Out Bar at 7 and trivia at Daft Brewing at 7. Later on, the Grad Club hosts a drag and burlesque show with Universe and friends at 8:30. Thursday, April 30th, the public market is back from 8:30 to 5. The evening is stacked, trivia at Riverhead and drag bingo at Daft Brewing both at 7. Music trivia at Something in the Water at 8, and trivia at Queen's Pub at 9. Karaoke runs at Jersey's at 8:30 and The Buckle at 9, and we have the weekly Urban Music Social at La Vida starting at 9:30. Friday, May 1st, Keep It Simple, trivia at Wild Wings Kingston at 7, then karaoke at Daft Brewing and The Buckle at 9. Saturday, May 2nd, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 5. In the afternoon, the Band ReFoundation Spring Awards take place at Grant Hall starting at 2. Frozen in Time, a storytelling sing-along, runs at the Spire from 2:30 to 7:30. Then in the evening, the Retro Rewind Roller Disco and Vintage Market takes over the Memorial Center starting at 6. Finishing off the week on Sunday, May 3rd, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 to 1. Always a good way to ease into the day. Later on, if you don't want the weekend to end too early, karaoke at the Merchant and the Toucan both start at 9. Have an event you'd like to add to our online and on-air events calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. For more details on all these events and more, check out the full calendars on cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.